Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study program from Mark BB and Jeff Buckles. This is Mike Moody. And let's just begin this afternoon with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this chance to come together and to open your word. We thank you again for our Savior. Above all things, we thank you for him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask for your guidance in this opportunity to give out your word today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Turn with me today to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, and the last verse is verse 16. We've been looking at verses 12 to 16 and the five exhortations of applying good doctrine. Verse 16 tells us this, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now, just for reminder's sake, we had already mentioned previously that this salvation here is not that of the soul in context here. It's speaking of chapter 4, speaking of salvation from error, from bad doctrine, from false doctrine. As we see the beginning of the chapter, it speaks of those that would, in the latter times, would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So we compare that with the end of verse 1, with the end of the chapter, verse 16, where it would say a similar thought. Instead of giving heed, here it says take heed. And here Paul is talking to Timothy. And of course, any of us that are saved can read this and take application to take heed unto ourselves and unto the doctrine or the teaching and continue in them. And when it says that we would both save ourselves and those that hear us, of course, we that know Christ, we are already saved. So the context of the scripture here is speaking of saving ourselves and others from error, from false doctrine, if we heed to and apply these exhortations here in verses 12 to 16, we can save ourselves from error and false teaching. Verse 12, let's just remind ourselves of these exhortations. Verse 12, it said, "Let no man despise thy youth." It said, "Be an example," and it gave us six ways of being an example in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Verse 13, the exhortation was, give attendance or devotion to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Then verse 14, the exhortation is, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Again, speaking to those that know Christ, every believer in the body of Christ has some ability, some gift from God, some way and avenue to serve the Lord. So neglect that not, he says. In verse 15, the exhortation is to meditate or practice upon these things. Give holy to them. We spend some time on meditating and thinking about the things of the Lord. And then finally today, the exhortation is to take heed. To take heed. And as we take heed, this would be a good time to have a summation of these verses 12 to 16. And think a little bit more about our thoughts. And being believers, we would have the mind of Christ is our desire, to think on the things of the Lord and to have our mind girded about with truth. Now let's think here in some passages beginning in the Old Testament. We'd like to turn to the book of Judges, chapter 4. And as we turn back there, there's a little story that I'd like to read to you and make application and apply this to our minds, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we would not have our minds upon the things of the world. Here, let's apply this and think of the comparison of an unsaved person and how their minds are blinded to the things of God. Their mind is upon the things of the world. Judges chapter 4, verse 1. "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the land of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Havosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mount of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinadab, out of Kadesh Naphtah, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun? And I will draw unto thee to the king of Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thy hand. So we see here the enemy. We see Sisera. And we see the discussion between Deborah and Barak. And now as we drop down to verse 12, and they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinadab, was gone up to Mount Tabor, and Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. So we see the enemies of God. We see Sisera in their pursuit of him. In verse 15, the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariot, and all his host, with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. Then Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host under the Hashaeth of the Gentiles, and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Verse 17. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. And there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me. Fear not. But when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? Thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Eber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. Now, what a great picture of the mind of an individual. We think of the mind of Christ as what we as believers should have, yet we think of those who know not Christ. They have their mind set upon the things of the earth. We see here, as this man tried to hide from his enemy, we see his request was for water, something that would quench his thirst. But this woman, Jael, knew exactly what she had in mind to accomplish. So she did not bring water, but she brought milk. Something that would relax him. Something that would put him to ease and to sleep. So we see here, she nailed his temples, his mind, to the ground. Think here of some of the situation of this man, Sisera. It said that after he took that milk that he was weary and he went fast asleep. When we have our mind, even as Christians, upon the things of this world, we're as that man, Sisera. We're weary. and we'll be fast asleep. We won't even know what is. We find ourselves giving heed to this world. Even believers can find themselves giving their mind and their devotion to the things of the world and find themselves turning from their first love, the Lord Himself. Now, we're not speaking of, again, the salvation of the soul at this moment. We're thinking of how Christians can have their minds put in neutral, it seems, to where we're just going around with our mind upon the things of the world. This is very dangerous. For we see here it caused death to this man. He was weary and went fast asleep. When we put ourselves in neutral, we're not on guard against the wiles of the devil. We are subject to the enemy. Now we know that the believer, having the Spirit of God indwelling them, will not be possessed by a demon, but we know that the devil can certainly cause havoc and oppress someone, cause sin, and cause heartache in the life of a believer. So let's be careful as believers not to have our mind, as we'd say, in neutral, to where we're not on guard against the things of the devil, of this world. As we turn over to 2 Corinthians, we see an explanation in chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see here for the unbeliever, we think, well, the simple gospel, how can they not see it? How can they not believe? But the scripture says here, it declares that the God of this world, that's Satan, has blinded them that believe not. This is part of the difficulty of someone seeing the simple message of Christ being their Savior, is that the God of this world would blind them, would blind their minds. Now we see as well that Satan causes havoc among those that are saved. He's already lost the battle as far as your soul's destiny when you know Christ as your Savior. Yet, He would not want us to be faithful servants to our Lord. We think of 2 Corinthians once again. We could turn over to chapter 10, I believe it is. And we turn up there to verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's think of this just for a moment. Of the one that we serve, even when it says that we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh, we are on the side of the mighty one who can pull down the stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let us, as in Ephesians 6, yield ourselves to the Lord, putting on the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt, 6:14 of Ephesians, about with truth, it says, your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, before that in verse 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're exhorted to put on the whole armor of God. Brother, a few weeks ago, in finishing up chapter 6 of Ephesians, made this point. What would it be like to go out into battle without the entire suit of armor? To go out with a gun into battle without bullets? To go out with all your armor except a helmet? We need to put on the whole armor of God. That even includes our minds being protected. We think of that man, Sisera. He put himself in a relaxing position where he opened his mind to the enemy, and it was nailed. Literally, his temples were nailed with a tent peg to the ground. Death. Now, we that are saved, we know that we are safe and secure in Christ, but we can surely fall and fail in our walk if we open our minds to the things of the world. We're not taking heed to sound doctrine. And to you out there that may not know Christ, your mind is blinded by the god of this world. Your mind is on the things of this world. Your mind is upon here and now. The god of this world has blinded you, those that do not believe. Yet the simple gospel is just that. It is simple. Simple in the sense that it's not complicated. It's the love of God that sent His Son to die for your sin. He is the only satisfactory payment for sin, this being the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we know that Christ, God manifest in the flesh, shed His perfect, innocent, precious blood. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us.